Okay, this is one of the most exciting times of our meeting together. Who's got the joke? Okay, come on up here. I want to hear the joke.
Is it a kingdom joke?
They're only little quick ones because I just got them off the internet before I left the house. Because I knew he was going to ask. What do you call fake pasta?
A what?
Fake pasta.
Fake pasta.
An impasta. I didn't say they were good. What do you call an alligator in a vest?
In a vest.
In a vest, an alligator in a vest.
Pastor Bill.
Here.
That's not the correct answer.
She thinks it's very funny.
Not funny.
Yeah, what's so funny about that? See, that's why I'm not laughing.
The correct answer is an investigator.
Oh.
What happens if you eat yeast and shoe polish?
Yeast polish. Polish yeast.
Rise and shine.
Every morning.
Oh. You are smooth.
And here's the last one. What do you get from a pampered cow?
A what cow?
A content cow? A pampered cow.
Oh, a pampered cow. Utterly milk.
Spoiled milk.
Oh!
Spoiled milk.
Yay!
You passed the test.
Oh,
I just don't know how you related that, Geraldine. What had that got to do with?
He's bothered.
What is? Just no relation to it at all.
Those are good jokes. Oh, clean jokes.
Yeah, at least it wasn't a dirty one like we heard last week.
Oh, my.
Well, this is fun already. It's wonderful. I just so much appreciated last night hearing about the, as a ministry, being hitting the reset button. And I believe what we're doing here is very reflective of hitting that reset button, starting over. As Doug explained last night, it's not as if that what we were doing before was wrong, but we're entering into a new stage. And I know that as we grow in these particular areas, that we're going to start developing ministries, effective ministries within the body, that's going to produce a whole lot more fruit than what we've seen before. We're really privileged to have Doug with us. He's ministered in a lot of areas, and next week actually he's going to Kona to teach in the Youth of the Mission Bible School there, and he's going from one side of the world to the other almost. And
I hope they have salmon there.
I hope they have salmon, yeah. Stuffed salmon with lobster. So we've talked a little bit about what to teach on, but he's just going to move into teaching time and impartation time. So we really want to absorb everything that he is about to leave and deposit in this place. So Doug?
Good, go ahead. Good. Thank you, Pastor Billy. Pasta. Beautiful. Just to mention that this is a different setting than a Sunday morning, and I want to get out certain things, and so, you know, I'll just kind of keep going and all that, but you're not going to interrupt anything. You might have a question, and I won't, though, start out with 20 questions, otherwise we won't get anywhere. So I will, you know, move along, but I want you to be able to engage, ask a question, make a comment, things like that. This isn't a preaching time for me. I want it to be a time where we understand. Sometimes something can be said and you'll think everyone else must get this, and you'll think, but you don't get it. probably if there's one or two people who don't get something, I said it some goofy way that it needs to be clarified. So your question is probably several of us as having a question. The other element is what we want to do is have an understanding that will affect our spiritual lives in doing ministry. So that when we're in a setting like this, a school of training, I call it school of training because it's actually equipping for ministry. And in a setting like this, I as Pastor Billy said, I want to make sure that we impart something spiritually, just grabs a hold of your life, and you feel confident that you've received something in God. And we're hopefully we're going this afternoon. It will be something that you'll see at the end why it does need to become more than information. There, in a setting like this, there are depths that I would go that I wouldn't go in a maybe a Sunday morning service. Sunday morning service, you have some people who are brand new to church and that sort of thing. Whereas when you come to a school of training, school of ministry like this, not only can I open something up and we've got people who are walking in God, but if it's a little deeper, you can ask a question. Well, what does that mean? How does that relate? Sunday morning, if it's preaching, you can't ask. The train just keeps moving, the service is over, and you have to try to figure it out. So this is a good time to go a little deeper. But on the other hand, neither is there a desire to make something complicated. Want to keep it simple, but believe me, I want to give you something. I want you to chew on salmon stuffed with lobster. Yeah, I'd like to do that. So we just welcome you, Holy Spirit. You're a real living person to us. You're welcome here. And you're the one who wrote the scriptures. You're the one who it gives us the ability to understand. And so I just open my heart, open my mouth, make myself accessible to you to take the things that you give and serve them the best way I know how. And so give us eyes to see, ears to hear, a heart that understands. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, let's do a couple of things. And one of the things, and we'll have a chance, Pastor Billy, to talk about it, but probably, and you've got a great place back there as well in, you know, the big open dining room area, but probably a good thing, I noticed a lot of you have pens and papers and so on. Tables might serve well for something like that. You may be able to, that could be your school in there. And then we could begin with salmon filled with lobster. That's right, learn how to cook. That's right, that's kingdom, yeah. And then it gives you, you know, an opportunity to be able to take notes. So here's what we're going to talk about is God's actual plan in raising up people to be used in ministry. You can read in scripture, and just generally it says that apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers are to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. So when you have an apostle or a prophet or pastor, evangelist, teacher, it's not that these people are hired to do the ministry. They're to equip the church family to engage in ministry, win souls, pray for the sick. Sunday night, God willing, we'll be doing that. And whatever anyone would do as spiritual leaders, we all ought to learn how to do and expect. And so that's part of the training. There is language that's used for this that is very important to understand. I'll just run through a couple of words. And then I'll begin giving a biblical foundation for what we're going to look at. There is a word, I'll spell it for you, it's nepios, N-E-P-I-O-S, N-E-P-I-O-S. And it would be the Greek word, so it's in the New Testament, and it's for a spiritual baby, someone who's just given their life to Christ. As newborn babies desire the sincere milk of the word, nepios. That's what a spiritual baby's called. Paideion is the second one. That's P-A-I-D-I-O-N. P-A-I-D-O, P-A-I-D-I-O-N. Is that how I spelled it the first time? Okay. Paideion. And this is speaking of a child. So, you know, 3 years old, 5 years old, 7 years old. Turners and nepios. Then we have Paideion, children, kids' church, 10-year-old, 5-year-old, somewhere in there. In other words, they're growing. And with children, you don't expect lots. They're just growing. And so you want to make sure that you care. Here might be an example where Jesus speaks to Peter and he says, Peter, feed my sheep, tend my lambs. Okay? Then you have another word, technon, T-E-C-K-N-O-N. That would be like a teenage Christian. Lots of zeal and lots of passion, but a little bit dangerous. You know, they're not going to just pray for the sick. They're going to go into the hospital and go into a ward unannounced and say, rise up, and, you know, anything can happen. It's a technon has been released. And it's basically speaking of somebody of that age. They're growing and known by certain characteristics. And I basically called a teenage Christian. They've been, you know, growing in the Lord sufficiently where they're past the baby stage and into wanting to do some things. The next one is the interesting one. And this one is called huios. H-U-I-O-S. Huios. Do you want to say it? Huios. Okay. This would be a son or a daughter. I'll give you an example of a huios. As many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. It's in Romans chapter 8. I think it's probably around verse 14, somewhere in there. As many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. So huios and are sons and daughters. And these are people who now they don't go wherever they want to go, but they're led by the Spirit. That's really interesting. The last level that Scripture speaks of that we would take note of is pater, P-A-T-E-R. It speaks of a father. That's what pater is, father. But it's non-gender. It's mother as well. And it's those who are fathers and mothers, and they actually want to raise up sons and daughters. A school to train people for ministry is raising up sons and daughters. A school is where babies can come, Paideions can come. Babies probably, you know, it might be a little beyond them, but Paideion, technon, and the whole idea is to raise up sons and daughters to do the work of the ministry. And it means that, to use the language of Scripture, is they've reached an age where they can receive their inheritance. Galatians chapter 4, first part of chapter 4, speaks of they've grown up to a certain age and then finally they can receive an inheritance. There's a maturity about them. There's a sense of identity that they would have. And the whole idea is, as Scripture speaks, and we're going to see this this afternoon, is that God's desire is for people in church to grow up to be sons and daughters and to be used in ministry. So I could be 40, 50, 60 years old, 70 years old, and still not be a son or a daughter. I haven't reached maturity in Jesus Christ. So we're not talking about physical age. A person could be 50 years old and newborn babe, just come to Christ. And so age is absolutely irrelevant in this thing. God's key is to raise up sons and daughters and those who are going to function in family, That's why fathers and mothers, it's the language that's used. You'll see this language used, especially in 1 John chapter 2, where it says, you know, fathers, you're to, you know what, I should look it up just to show you. It's 1 John chapter 2, and I'll just give you an example of this, where it's interesting how the language is used. It begins at verse, I think it's 12. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Verse 13, I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children. And he goes on, and he talks about fathers and young men. So you can see in Scripture that there's language that's used that's referring to older people in the Lord, younger people in the Lord, and the best way to grow is older and younger. And when we come into alignment with our not only our spiritual leaders, but with older and younger people, we can grow to maturity, and what someone won't learn on their own, or it would take them a lifetime, we can get in a school of ministry just like that. We're catching things and understanding things and catching how God wants to do it. And we can avoid a lot of big mistakes and be released in other things that are really important. So one of the elements is to be a huios, a son or a daughter, and these people are led of the Spirit. I remember one time I was praying, saying, Lord, I want to learn to hear your voice more. And it's a very interesting story, but the short of it is, I actually heard out loud these words, my sheep know my voice, but lambs don't. I heard it out loud. I heard those words, and then I didn't hear this, but I saw in front of me John 10 and John 21. And I, just because of my knowledge of Scripture, I knew that John 10 was, the familiar part was, my sheep know my voice. And that's in John 10. John 21, I knew where Jesus spoke to Peter, and he said, feed my sheep, tend my lambs. And that Jesus knew there was a difference between sheep and lambs. But I thought, what does the Lord mean? My sheep know my voice, but lambs don't. So it was a couple of days into it, and I had been praying and saying, Lord, what are you telling me here? And it was very simple. He said, lambs feed from sheep. Sheep follow the shepherd. So sheep are going to get into the word. Lambs are going to listen to other sheep. It's no problem if you're a lamb. Be a lamb. The problem is when we're a lamb too long. And so that's why for me, I get into the Scriptures. I want to get into the word because I want the Lord to speak to me. And I learned several things about that, how that to hear God's voice, if you really want to hear God's voice, one of the best things you could ever do is get into the Word of God and just begin to systematically and regularly read the Scriptures and ask the Lord to speak, because you might have a favorite radio broadcast, TV broadcast, and all of those things, and nothing wrong with that, but it will never be as good as you sitting down with Jesus, Holy Spirit, your Bible, and so on. So the deal is to grow up as huios, sons and daughters. And eventually sons and daughters become fathers and mothers, and so it cycles. So watch this. Here's where we're going to go. There are four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And as a young Christian, I remember I was traveling at the time. I was down in Australia, and I didn't know much about the Bible at all. And I'm reading Matthew, and then I start reading Mark, and I thought, what? This is the same story. And what confused me is with a few changes. And I thought they should stick to their story, decide on what's correct here. And then I get into Luke, and I think, double what? What's this all about? It's the same story. And finally, I'm into John, and I think, I don't get this. I'm like, if you're going to give us a book, and I didn't mean it sacrilegiously, but I thought, if you're going to give us a Bible, you don't repeat yourself. Like, just give it to us once and clarify what's what. You know, the one story, it was a Gadarene, it was one fellow in the tombs. I get to another book, and it says there are two guys. And I thought, now, is it one or two? Some of you might be wondering, well, which was it? Well, to Luke it was two. He saw two, and this other guy only saw one. And it's because, here, I should explain that. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called synoptic gospels. Does anyone know what optic means? Optical, seen, the eye. Synonymous, S-Y-N, synoptic, seeing the same thing. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are pretty much seeing the same thing. So they're going to be very similar stories. Then you come to John, and that's called an otopic, A-U-T-O-P-I-C, and that means it's one view. John's going to share something totally different. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look at growing up in the Lord to be sons and daughters, and we have four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we're going to get something different from each of them. And you'd never see this truth if you didn't understand that there's a difference between Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I'll go slow enough on this part so we catch it. Matthew is writing to Jews. He's writing to Jews. If you wanted a picture of Matthew writing to Jews about Jesus, he's going to show Jesus as a lion. And the way that Matthew would speak of Jesus is a king. Mark is writing, and this isn't inspirational, this is literal. Mark is writing to Romans. People who are Romans, so Italian, and he's writing about Jesus, and he sees him not as a lion, but as an ox. And the picture of the ox is of Jesus as a servant. So you won't see Jesus as king in the Gospel of Mark. You'll see Jesus as a servant. When you get into the Gospel of Luke, it's Dr. Luke. He's a medical doctor. And so, wouldn't you know it, Dr. Luke writes about Jesus as the Son of Man. You know, it's kind of stick out your tongue and say, ah. It's just a human being, perfect albeit. So he writes about a man. The picture would be not a lion, not an ox, but a picture of a human being's face. And he shows Jesus as the Son of Man. That's why, especially in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is tired, hungry, all of those very normal felt needs. And Luke, Dr. Luke, is writing to Greeks. So you've got Jews, Romans, and Greeks. When you come to the Gospel of John, what you have in the Gospel of John is John wanting to show Jesus as the Son of God. Not a king, not an ox, not a man, but the Son of God. And so everything's going to be about how Jesus is God. The picture would be an eagle, you know, the heavenlies. That would be the picture of Jesus in the Gospel of John. And John isn't writing to the Jews, the Romans, or the Greeks. He's writing to the church. Yeah, he's writing to the church. So you have Matthew, king, Jews, lion. Mark, ox, servant, Romans. Luke, man, Greeks, and a picture of a man. The John, the unique one, would be the church and Son of God and an eagle. Now there's one story about growing up that's in every one of those books. And that's what we're going to look at. And we'll see a secret about how to grow up. It's in all of those books, and you'll never understand the truth until you discover how this same story is written in each of the books. And the person who writes it will take that same story but shape it toward the lion, the ox, the man, and God. So, does anyone want to guess and see if lightning hits twice somewhere? Anyone take a guess in what story would be in all four Gospels? The parable of the sower. The parable of the sower. Let's go and buy Tim Hortons afterward. That's good, because there's a whole Bible and you did well. The parable of the sower. So let's deal with a couple of these right away. John, you know, he cuts to the chase on this one. You only get one verse out of him, and I can probably quote it. John chapter 12, verse 24, and he says this: except a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it'll bring forth much fruit. And that's his parable of the sower. So he's saying in the economy of God, you'll see this happen with Jesus, and because you're going to be followers of Jesus, the whole thing is you've got to fall to the ground and die, and when you die, you'll discover that you'll bring forth much fruit. And that's the parable of the sower. Boom, end of discussion. That's over.